Welcome to 7 Questions, a Hear Your Story podcast using 7 questions from the Tell Your Life Story Guided Journal. Here, we share the stories of people who have lived storied lives. That includes everyone, of course, but today we have Bree on the show. Let's get to know her, shall we?
Hi.
How are you doing today? Are we doing okay?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
I'm doing very well. What is it that you do? Tell me about Dress Up Studio.
Dress Up Studio is an entertainment photo studio. It's based in Glendale, California. I always say it's a block near the Americana, which is a really fun shopping mall if you're in SoCal. But it's an entertainment photo studio. I describe it as like a JCPenney photo shoot, except a lot more fun. There's costumes, wigs, backdrops, champagne. You go, you get your picture taken, and you have a lot of fun dressing up as, I don't know, like, we have so many different character costumes, like the Disney princesses or Barbie or things from different eras, from like Bridgerton era to like the 50s, 60s, 80s. It's cool. A lot of fun.
That's wonderful. What inspired you to want to, you know, start this or do something like it?
I was with my partner in Japan, and they had an experience where they have a lot of different costume photo studios over there, and they had this one where you could, they could turn you into like a geisha.
Oh, cool.
Which is really cool. Yeah. And so I just was really like touched by that experience. There was like a lot of education infused in it. So of course, like you get like a makeover. But I loved how they also had videos playing of like the tea ceremonies they did and like their dances, and all of the, clothing was super authentic and they wrapped you up in a kimono. And I just thought like, this is so cool. I felt like I learned a lot about, the culture through the costumes. And so I thought, I want to bring this back to the US, but, no cultural appropriation, more modern pop culture.
Yeah, sure.
I was really inspired by it, by that experience.
That's so great. That's so cool. I love that. That's amazing. Okay, right. Well, we'll get on with our first of 7 questions. What makes you lose track of time because you love doing it so much?
What I really enjoy doing lately, it's not like a super fun answer, but I really love graphic design.
Oh, cool.
I love just like, you know, Canva, and I have to make a lot of like graphics for my business, whether it's like an email or, you know, social media graphics or you know, all that stuff. But even like more fun things like the packaging, I have like some products that I sell, or, you know, my business cards. Like I just love messing around with all of those graphics.
Oh, I love that. I'm on your website now, and you have this great logo. Did you like design the logo and then design? I mean, I imagine you have designed a lot of your studio.
Yeah. I did everything. I just love messing around with that stuff, the colors and like the typography, and I love how it combines different mediums, because there's like, you need a photo, or I like to, I illustrate a lot, so I can combine my illustrations, or just like, and the whole like putting it together, I think is really fun.
That's great. was the love of graphic design something that you like, you had before you started the business, or did you get it as you were like, you know, making the business, and then you were like, you started graphically designing other things, you're like, oh my God, I love this.
I in high school, I used to be on the yearbook team, and I think that's where I really fell in love with it.
Yeah.
But then I put it aside for such a long time. And then, I don't know, yeah, picked it back up through my business.
Love,
I guess.
That. That's great. That's really cool. that's so neat. Oh, I love that. I attempt to do graphic design stuff, but I don't know if you've ever seen the like meme image online of graphic design is my passion, and it's this really bad like Microsoft Word picture. That is me doing
that's
that
so
things.
Funny. I have to look that up.
It's real good.
I'm sure you're better than you think.
We should hope so after the amount of times I've done stuff, but you would be shocked and appalled. Okay, question number two. How would you describe your family when you were growing up?
I would describe them as really creative. And, you know, I kind of believe that, like, everybody is, like, creative or even, like, artistic. How embarrassing. Oh, no. I believe everyone's, like, artistic even in some way. Mm. Like, a lot of people say, like, oh, I can't do that. I can't, you know, I'm not good with my hands. I can't draw. But I think, like, everybody really has creativity in them or the capacity to be artistic and creative.
Oh, I agree. I agree so much. Yeah.
Yeah. And it can come out different ways. And so my dad, he was, this wasn't his job, but he's a really good painter. Mm-hmm. And then my mom is like really creative with interior design, and she's so crafty and
cool.
She's had like lots of different businesses throughout the years.
Mm.
And so that was like a really big, I think, part of my childhood, is we were constantly like kind of around the kitchen table asking each other like what can we sell, like what business can we start, and like,
oh, cool,
what business ideas do we have.
Oh, neat. So like everyone's an artist, but they're also like business minded. What is it that your parents did?
My dad, he worked he's worked at like, oh no, nobody does. Well, right now he has a really great job. He's like, I think he started as a manager at a Pizza Hut, and then he worked his way up and eventually was like managing, you know, franchisees, and then managing like regions for 7-Eleven.
Wow. So really business minded then.
He is. Yeah.
Cool. Wow.
And then my mom had just like small businesses, growing up, like a little like home and garden shop where she'd make a lot of the items to sell.
Oh,
and
cute.
Things like that. Yeah.
Nice. Is this what kind of inspired, was this like a part of you wanting to make your own business? It's like almost like a family legacy of people who kind of run and manage businesses or create their own small businesses. You were like, oh, well, I want to do that. You have that like gene in you. It's part of your, you know, your family.
I always thought it was so, my mom would let me help her with her business a lot. I remember like, there's this thing called like the showcase house where they take like a house and then all these designers come and they design each room.
Yeah.
And then my mom was a vendor. Then you after you toured the house, you would, as a guest, you would like go and there'd be vendors, and my mom got to be one of the vendors there. And I just loved helping her like write the tickets for the customers and like package up the items. And I just was so inspired, and I just knew that I always wanted to run my own business. I just didn't know what the business would be,
but I
just thought that was so cool growing up.
Love that. Wow, that's so great. I also love what you said about everyone has, you know, art in them, or the capacity for it, because that is something that I'm consistently fighting people on.
I'm glad you agree.
There is a big narrative that has been around seemingly forever, which is, oh, well, I'm not good at it, so I can't do it. Like, I can't be a commercial artist, so there's no point in me doing it. And I'm like, well, there's so much to being, to making art. It's truly, and it's like, my granddad was a carpenter, and I'm like, you were making art. You were working with your hands and building and crafting something. My dad refuses to say that he has any artistic talent, but because like he's very business minded, but will then paint and draw these like great things just offhandedly. When I was a young kid trying to draw anime figures and doing it very poorly when I was like 9 years old, he would like just using my sketch pad just do like the greatest rendition of a human body that I've ever seen. And I'm like, yeah, you don't have any artistic feel. Yeah, don't worry about it. No, that's great. I agree so much. Yeah.
I wonder why. Why do you think it is that people like have this resistance to like say, no, I'm not an artist. That's not me.
Truly, I think it's because, we're getting very society about it. But I think people are like really. People are like pretty conditioned into being, if they're not like the top level, able to sell, make a living off it, that they can't like do that thing almost exclusively when it comes to art. I really think that it's something that's so, because it's being vulnerable on a molecular level is making art. You're putting yourself forward, you're trying to you know, you're putting a piece of like a thing that you care about onto a piece of paper or into something and then showing everyone. That is horrifying. That's so scary. People don't like thinking about like being an artist in that way, which is understandable. It's a very scary prospect. You know, being rejected for a piece of your soul that you've put into something.
Yeah.
And I think that just scares people. And then I also think that people have a weird idea about art. I have a thing where I love bad movies, love a bad film, but I don't like bad movies in terms of I like to sit and make fun of them. I'm like, a group of people got together and made art, and I'm able to experience that art. That is so cool. And I do think that you can learn more from art that you don't believe in. Or, like, if it's in your field, like, for example, if you were to watch a bad movie, you can learn more about the art of filmmaking, storytelling, all that, from a bad movie than you can a really good one. Because a really good one has perfected it. But a bad one gets you thinking how you would change what is on the screen. And I think that about most art. I think there is value in every piece of art, regardless of perceived quality. You know what I mean?
It's really cool. I love that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love that. It kind of makes me, also it makes me think of, that The Room, you know, that movie?
Love The Room.
Famously.
Yeah.
Even if you fail on such like a large scale, which is like, you know, fail, you know, it's so successful. It's so widely loved. So it's like, why not just like do the thing that you're hoping to do? Because even if it goes really bad, that could actually be turned into a success in some way. Exactly. You never know. So might as well just go for it.
Inspiring people. It's, you know, there was, I think it's James Franco. I might be wrong, made The Disaster Artist, which is about The Room and the making of it. So, and it has these testimonials at the beginning of the movie of people who, like famous actors who love The Room and they're talking about it. And it's like, this is art, baby. We're talking about inspiring people regardless of the quality. What a wonderful prospect.
Exactly.
No, I love it. Yeah, I'm glad that we agree on that. That's me cool. Too.
Me too.
Do you have any siblings? You talked about your parents. Is it yourself and your parents?
Yeah, no, I have a younger brother. Yeah, he's 4 years younger than me.
Love.
Is he
an artist? Is he an artist?
He's not, but I think that he... Oh, wait. Oh, my gosh. Yes, he's a musician. He doesn't do that for a living, but he's very, very talented.
Oh,
so, yeah, he's an artist. Like, yeah.
Yeah, I was thinking
more in the visual
got
world.
The capacity for it. No,
exactly.
You're so right. Yeah. Beautiful. Right. So who do you think was the first person in your life to truly understand you and make you feel like you didn't have to explain or justify yourself?
So for this, I would say my partner, he's my fiance now, but my partner, Chris, I've been with him for like 10 years. We met, through work a long, long time ago. But yeah, he's so supportive, so patient with me. And I just love how, I mean, I could tell him like, you know, I want to dye my hair purple, or I really want to live, you know, here for, you know, and he's just very supportive. And of course, like he, you know, has his own, I don't know, like guards or stops in place. Like I can't, you know, pick us up and move us to like a different country, but he would be open and he would, you know, he listens to me and I don't know. I don't feel like embarrassed when I tell him about my ideas or my opinions, and
a blessing. That's amazing. Yeah, that's really great. Yeah. You said you met at work. Where was that?
We met at work. We met at this startup called Stitch Fix in San Francisco about like 2014, I
Baby,
guess.
this is Stitch Fix.
It really?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
I because it's US only, but I go to Brooklyn all the time, so my best friend lives in Brooklyn. Whenever I go visit them, I'm like, hey, I'm gonna go send a Stitch Fix to your house, by
Oh my God, that is
the way. Yeah, that's
amazing.
wild.
I was with the company for like 10 years, so it just I'm no longer with
Wow.
them, but it just means I so much to me. It was so much of my like, I
Yeah,
don't know,
absolutely.
memories and
That
yeah.
makes sense. It's a big fashion thing, and you now have, Dress Up Studio, which is also like fashion based. Has a
Yeah.
lot of fashion intertwined with it. Is like fashion a like a medium that you care a lot about or have like a lot of passion in, or is it something that, you enjoy but you're like almost on the outskirts. You're like in it but not like incredibly passionate about it.
I really love fashion. I feel like so many people love it. You know, and some it's not it's so I think it's like it was I never really wanted to fully enter that space in the traditional sense because there's so many people who also want to be fashion designers and stylists and all sorts of things. So I was trying to find a way to incorporate it while not, you know, just opening like a retail business or trying to be a fashion designer because I do feel like there's so many different point of views and I just don't know if
Sure, yeah.
I don't know, was ready to put my foot in there. I don't know.
Well, I mean, you kind of did. Is that not a huge part of the business? Is
That's true.
yeah.
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 I do
No,
love
that's cool.
costumes and the more like
Sure.
extravagant like
Yeah,
stuff sense.
you mentioned Bridgerton, which Bridgerton isn't like Rococo, it's more like Victorian-y kind of era, Edwardian. Is there like a time period of fashion that you are like that you love? Because you have the Disney dresses, which are all also kind of these big, beautiful ball gowns, and then you go into Bridgerton, which is kind of also that. Is that type of era something that you're that you enjoy, that you're passionate about?
I really think it's hard to pick. I really like a lot of it. When I was working for Stitch Fix, we had to I started out as a stylist and we had to style people with all different types of styles. And we called them like preppy, boho, romantic. And I feel like it really like trying to style other people, I really was like, wait, I think I like everything, or there's something in every genre that I can connect with. And it really made me kind of have less like I used to dress in like a certain color palette and like I was very strict and then this really opened me up, I guess. I just so when I feel like when it comes to like aesthetics and colors, I can just connect with like a lot of different ones,
Love,
I guess, if that
yeah,
makes
great, yeah,
sense.
whatever fits your mood,
Yeah, but right now I'm loving I really like how we're starting to have a trend of like the 60s when they were doing medieval style clothes, like that's starting to
sure,
come back, like medieval and especially like politically, that's like a trend that makes sense for our current time period, I think right now of like this going back to the dark ages, but about to be on have a revolution in some way or big changes, I guess, in general.
Absolutely.
So I
No.
think that's really cool. I really like that style right now, but I don't know. It's hard for me to pick. I kind of like everything.
No, that's really cool. That's crazy insightful about the how fashion is moving toward a similar kind of cultural, I don't want to say threshold because that is the wrong word. That's why I don't want to say it. But kind of the cultural standing that we had in the 60s. And that's why that kind of style is coming back. That's really interesting. That's something I didn't consider before. Yeah. What period of your life shaped you the most and how do you think it changed you?
That period in San Francisco was really influential for me. I started at Stitch Fix. It's so funny you're wearing one of the shirts, but that was one of my first real job out of college, and so it was just so magical and inspiring to be working in the financial district in San Francisco, just all the high rises and the public transit system I wasn't used to before. It just felt like I was in New York, or I was just so like, I don't know, starry-eyed.
Very, very like early 2000s rom-com of you. Yeah. You're like working in a fashion startup in a like in the metropolitan area. Yeah, I love it.
It was really like a dream come true. And our CEO, Katrina Lake, she was a female founder. And this was a very, it was like, you know, there was a big tech boom and Airbnb was starting and WeWork and Uber and Lyft. All these like really influential companies were like coming up and like making so much money. And then Stitch Fix was a startup there. And it was just really exciting. And it really felt like, oh, anyone can start. You have to be delusional. I was young and delusional, but I'm just like, wow, yeah. There was this energy that like, yeah, start a company. Why wouldn't you be able to be
a leader?
And then you
ended up doing that though. You say it's delusional, then you did it. That's great.
I don't know if it's on that success level, but I appreciated the delusion and the motivation and the inspiration and feeling like, yes, like I can do this too, you know.
Hey, listen, if people are going to try to, put their self forward and strike something, you got to be a little Delulu. I get it.
Dude, you really do.
And you still did it. You say that you were delusional about starting a small business and then you went and did it. And now you're being interviewed because you made it. Like, that's so cool.
Surreal.
Yeah. No, beautiful. No, I love it. Last week, Tell Your Life Story launched in Target, the first ever book from Hear Your Story to be there. So next time you go for a stroll down those aisles, keep an eye out for us. Take a selfie, tag us if you so desire, share your favorite question with us, document your journey on social media, and get to know all the other story keepers sharing their story also. When Jeffrey Mason made these books, he wants to foster connection, and connection starts with you. So reconnect with yourself with questions like the ones in this podcast with Tell Your Life Story. Speaking of this podcast, let's get back to it. Okay, fifth question. What is the question that you're afraid to ask yourself? It's a weird one. Yeah.
One question that I've been kind of thinking about is like, which seems maybe obvious, but like, what if success like really doesn't bring you happiness? Which is like, you know, of course there's so many things that bring you happiness, but I just feel like these past couple years, I've checked a lot off my bucket list. I got engaged and I got to,
love it.
I always wanted to live in New York. And so I got to spend like a month there and kind of, you know, fulfill that in some way. Yeah. And I have like this brick and mortar space and like, I feel like it's kind of like sad in a way. Like I found like, as I'm checking, I mean, not the engagement piece, but like I've had these long term goals for a while and I've been working on this business for like 6 years or over 6 years. And so it just feels like, I don't know, like the most fun is truly like in the early stages when you're excited and you're building something and you have a goal, but when you like get to it, it's just really like scary to be like, okay, now what? Like, what's my next goal? I don't know what it is.
Absolutely. It's like, it's the excitement of reaching for the goal is that there's a goal that you're reaching for. And then as soon as you get it, it's like, I don't have a goal now. Nothing replaced the goal that I got. Yeah. That is,
and then
is
not
that,
knowing what's next.
Exactly. Yeah. Is it, so what, cause it's interesting. Cause the question that you said is, you know, what if success doesn't bring happiness? Is that like, what is success? What do you think that is?
Yeah, that's a really hard question. Yeah.
An incredibly loaded question.
I mean, for my business, it would be like, if it could be like profitable and sustain itself and really be like a foundation for like my future and with possibilities of growth to do like all sorts of fun things that in that sense. But I guess like in a life sense, just like, I guess if you're happy, then you're successful.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. I agree. But then it's also the horrific question of like, oh, well, how do I measure happiness? Am I like the maximum amount of happy I can be, or is there something else? And then that immediately makes you spiral and not happy because you're thinking too much about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's great. Well, okay. So let's focus on the thing that like, you know, is a big happiness point. So your fiance, yes. What is their name?
His name's Chris.
Chris. So, did the pair of you get engaged in Japan? Was that a separate thing? Did you get engaged recently? What's that story?
We got engaged in this past August in Catalina Islands.
Beautiful.
Have you ever?
I haven't. No, I haven't been. No.
Oh, cool. Yeah, it's just this little island. It was his first time visiting, and yeah, we got engaged. We just went on a nice getaway, and he proposed on the beach. It was really sweet.
Love that. That's so cute. Oh my god, that's beautiful.
Thanks.
That's wonderful. How and so you two have been together for a decade now, right? That's yeah, because you found each other at Stitch Fix, and then yeah, it's been 10 years.
Yeah, it was really important to me to focus on my career and my business. My business mm-hmm. has really been like such a big part of these last few years.
Yeah, of course.
These last six
yeah.
years, and so I really wanted to get that kind of up and running, and yeah, and so then we were kind of putting engagement, waiting till we moved back to LA where my family is, and mm-hmm. moved to the business, and then yeah, now we're
beautiful.
Engaged.
Love that. Do you have a date set in mind, or is it just was it like getting engaged is the most important bit? We'll figure out the details later.
Yeah, we have a date. It's January 24th, and we're gonna get married in San Francisco.
Love.
We love that city, and it's where we really met, and we have all of our memories
yeah.
there. And so yeah,
you said that New York is really like New York is a place that you've always wanted to live, but San Francisco is home, right? Is that yeah. am I getting the right idea there?
Yeah, it's funny because I grew up in LA, and so I spent all the way up until like I was a teenager here, and then went to college in NorCal, and then spent like my major adult life in the Bay Area, in Oakland, and in San Francisco.
Sure. Yeah.
And that's where a lot of my friends are. And I feel like I really became, an adult, and I really formed my values and my goals and a lot up there. So I
yeah.
feel like it is really, yeah, meaningful to me, the Bay Area.
Oh, love that. Yeah, that's beautiful. Okay, so this actually next question is a little bit relevant to what we just asked. If you could ensure that your life and work would accomplish just one thing, what would you want that to be? Because this is success. Like, it's your like, life and work is accomplishing one thing. Yeah.
Yeah, my business, Dress Up Studio, and, whatever future work I go into, I'm really passionate about like just having like cultivating like self-love and acceptance in people. I feel like for a lot of women, I feel like this message that like a woman's value is like in her appearance and just how that's fleeting and it's not something you can hold on to. Mm-hmm. I think I'm trying to like kind of I want to help like dismantle that a little bit. And I feel like there's like a lot of anxiety and pressure to look a certain way, especially in today's age. There's lots of like, there's Ozempic and lots of injections that seem really normal.
Yeah.
And that's great if people want to engage in that and it makes them feel good. But I also want to also put out the message that you're great just the way you are.
Mm-hmm.
And when it comes to my photo studio, people are always waiting to take a picture, waiting for a milestone like prom or a wedding, or mm-hmm. waiting to lose weight, or waiting until they look a certain way. And my message is, let's take the photos now. Let's celebrate who you are today, exactly as you are, without needing to change anything.
Mm.
And like, I want people to feel really good about themselves and just feel really like joyful and happy in their skin.
Oh,
and so I'm very passionate that. About that.
No, beautiful. That's amazing. I adore that. That messaging, yeah. I'm sure that you must have had people like say something to you along those lines of like, oh, I was like anxious to do this, and then I came to the studio and I just feel so much better. Is there anything like that or like, do you have a moment which is like the first time someone said something like that to you that like resonated?
I
Or is it even just like a look at on people's face that you're like, oh, this is doing really good for them?
Yeah, I think that people are nervous when they come here. They're like not sure what to expect. And then once they get dressed up and we're taking pictures and I'm like, you know, saying like, oh, pretend you're a princess or like, you know, pretend you're a diva. And like, I think that people really get comfortable when they come alive and you can see that they're really joyful and happy. And they usually say like they've had a great experience and
love that
they had a great time. And I mean, that's what makes it worth it.
Yeah, that must be so fulfilling. Oh, yeah, I cannot imagine. So, it's fun. It sounds like that you're like, do you take the pictures yourself, or is it like, because it sounds like you're doing a lot of like the directing of the people, doing stuff, helping them feel comfortable in the space and helping them get like the best out of the experience.
Yeah. I photograph them and I really, really love it.
Cute. That's so great. Because we've talked about like you with fashion and things, is you in photography another, like, do you have history there, or is this something that you picked up for the studio?
I picked it up for the studio. I've always like kind of enjoyed it, but I never really like studied it until about a year ago. Yeah, I mean, I was building this photo studio and I had so much fun like curating the costumes and the backdrops and making it like super immersive and magical. And then I just realized like I have a photo studio and no photographer. And so then I started to kind of get into that.
To do it. Yeah.
Great. And really, I found I really, really love it. And I just love making people feel, just feel good in their skin.
Beautiful. That's amazing. Oh, that's so grand. Okay. And this is our last question of our seven questions. What question do you wish someone would ask you about your life?
Well, I have like a more serious one and then a silly one.
Hey, listen, if you wanna drop both, I'm here for it.
Yeah, and just edit out whatever. okay, so the more serious one is just like what have you like learned, you know, based on your experiences, I guess, or what advice would you give?
Yeah.
And it kind of goes back to what we were talking about in terms of like happiness and like success. And I kind of feel like what I've lately have been learning and realizing is that it's important to just reflect on like when you felt joyful and whether it's like that day, like what was like the best part of my day or like the best part of my month or like what were the times in my life where I was the happiest. I think it's important to like prioritize, to reflect on it and then just kind of go towards those moments. Cause I have found it's easy to, they get lost kind of in like work and family obligations.
Oh, absolutely.
And
yeah.
All that sort of thing.
Yeah. No, it's, this is actually, so, 4 years, my mom always bought me for Christmas a little notepad, and she wrote always on the first page of like every day, before you go to bed, I have to write three things that I liked about the day, full stop. Like, it could be something like the smallest thing of like, I had a really good bunch of grapes today, or something big like whatever the event was. I think, and truly it's like, you know, I have like a sad history of depression and things, and having something every day that, admittedly, I'd do it for like 2 months and then I would stop because I was a young 20-year-old. I was answering questions before bed every day, so I would just forget and then I'd get knocked out the cycle. But it helped my outlook so much, trying to reflect on what was positive about the worst days. And then being like, oh, so every day has something in it that works and is good.
That's such a beautiful practice that your mom instilled in you. I think that's so
truly
smart.
And I love it so much. Yeah, it really did. It does help. And now I get on people's nerves by being like, hey, so tell me something nice that happened today. They're like, I've had the worst day ever. Don't speak to me. I'm like, but something nice happened. And then they always end up coming up with an answer. And I'm like, see, it's not all bad.
Yeah, I love that.
What about yourself? When was that time period for you? When was this like moment of reflection that you really hit? Was it that time with the startup and Stitch Fix and then meeting your future, you know, husband and all that? Or was it another time that you like reflect on when you think about what, you know, a really positive time in your life?
Yeah, those early days in Stitch Fix were at Stitch Fix meeting my current partner. That was really, really magical. It was stressful too, but that was a lot of fun. But I think also, and maybe a lot of people, I think, have this experience if they went to college. But I think like my senior year of college was really a happy time.
Nice.
Just because of friends, and you know, you have less responsibilities, absolutely. More time to like really focus on your friendships. And I think that it's important to kind of remember to keep friendships like alive, and it can be so hard as an adult.
Oh absolutely. What did you go to uni for?
The major was called Techno-Cultural Studies.
Technology. Sure. Yeah.
Yeah. It no longer exists. It was a very small major. So, but it's pretty much
exclusive club that you're in. We love that.
It was a lot focused heavily on like film and digital media and video and photography.
That's interesting.
It's kind of a hodgepodge of.
Sure. What inspired you to pick that major up? Was it just you just really liked digital media and you wanted to be a part of it, or?
I really wanted to major in business and fashion, but my school, UC Davis, they didn't have a business major. It was economics, and
sure,
I couldn't get into the design major, and so this was kind of a major where I could still take artsy classes.
Cool.
And make it work, I guess.
Wow, love that. Yeah, sure. What would you say is something from that class that you like still like that you picked up and still think about? Is it anything? Would you say that like it helped you making a small business? You know, you have a beautiful website. You do a lot of logo design. You do a lot of like online, you know, pushing. Would you say that any of that helped you in like a big way when it comes to making a small business?
And making a small business, it was a very creative major. I think one of the biggest takeaways that I think about frequently today is that there have been these different periods, of course, in history where technology is like boomed, and there's always a bit of like a backlash to new technology, and there's like early adopters and then people who kind of are, you know, not ready yet
suspicious
to get on board.
Yeah.
Suspicious, yes.
Yeah.
And I think that it's important to be critical of new technologies, but I think it's going to be okay. And I don't know, as long as we're like thoughtful and we can like, you know, make sure that there's certain like guardrails and
checks and balances. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
But I think less fear around technology, because especially with like we're moving towards, you know, are we all going to be cyborgs in 10 years? Are we going to be uploaded into a computer? Like, I think that that's going to happen.
Yeah.
No,
that is not. No, it's all going in. I'm putting you on blast.
I don't know. It's just, you know, we have to be careful, but I think it'll be okay. And it's our natural progression as humans.
Yeah.
You know, I think.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Which sounds weird. Edit that out.
I totally get you. I understand. I do. I totally get you. Well, I mean, you wanted this question to be asked. What do you think you've learned over your journeys, your like careers and your university? What do you have anything that like advice that you would give to like a younger you, anything that you've learned and that could like help someone, like maybe someone listening who wants to maybe get into the same field that is inspired by this, like what would you say, what would you tell them? Do you have any advice?
I think it's for me, I got really I spent a lot of time prioritizing my career and my business, which I've had so many great experiences with Stitch Fix and building Dress Up Studio. But I do think that like balance is really, really important. And I wish I would have had a little bit more balance in my life, like a little bit more vacation time, time with friends.
Sure, yeah.
You know, more invested more in like mental health and like self-care. And I think that stuff is, especially the self-care for me, like that's easy to kind of get. To put it on the back burner and focus on work and productivity. Yeah, yeah. But I think that, you know, it's not having a well-balanced life.
Yeah. That's so interesting you say that, because honestly, there is a thing, like a pattern that I've felt from a lot of people who like have successful small businesses or like have successful businesses full stop, that when asked like, oh, what would you prioritize? Most of them are like, I would prioritize not working as much. I would not, you know, I would prioritize mental health, and I would still go out and see stuff. Why do you think people don't do that? Even though it's like the advice of a lot of it's like almost a through line. Why do you think people just don't tend to do that?
I think there's this. I think it's just like this hamster wheel where you think if I put in more work and put in more time and energy, then my business will get to here, and then I'll be able to relax. Then I'll be happy. Then I'll take vacation time and things will, you know, solidify. And it's, and then either you don't get there or you do get there and it's like, well, shit, I'm not really happy. I don't feel fulfilled. And I should have like taken that vacation years ago, or I should have spent more time deepening my relationships with friends or finding a therapist. Things like that. I don't know.
Well, I mean, you started this business by going to Japan and having a holiday. Like, that kind of inspiration strikes from anywhere, and I think that, like, you know, that kind of you are like proof of this, that if that spark that can like ignite from you doing anything, and I think that's really cool. That's an nice. Interesting, that's insightful. I like it. That's good.
Thank you.
Of course. Well, Brie, I had a wonderful time. We've asked all of our 7 questions. You've done it. You've done a beautiful job. You've been the greatest first guest I could ever possibly hope to have. I appreciate you so much.
That's so kind. I was nervous.
So, is there any if people like were excited by you and the idea of Dress Up Studio, where would you recommend them go check you out?
If you're interested in having a magical costume experience photo shoot, you can visit our Instagram at Dress Up Studio Events or our website at dressupstudioevents.com.
Beautiful. Well, thanks so much, Brie. I appreciate you. Thank you so much for being here. And go check out Dress Up Studio. It's very fun. When I got sent this, I was like, do you want to interview Brie? I looked at the website. I was like, yeah, this looks awesome. Love this, actually.
Thank
you so much for being here. No, of course. Thanks so much, Brie. I appreciate you so much.
Thank you. Thanks so much. I appreciate the time.
This podcast was possible due to listeners like you. The inspiration and funds of Hear Your Story and our amazing team. Our producer, Madeline Mason. Our social media video and transcription editor, AJ Ray. Our video editor, Adrian Parker. Our copywriter, Parker Robbins. Our post-production supervisor and graphic designer, Abby Kelly. Our creative art director, Chelsea Jewell. And myself, Robin Ekberg, as your host and audio editor. Thank you for joining us. And remember to share your story.